Hey, you're about to hear an all-new episode of Glenn is Talking, Man from New York. This episode, we're talking about some pretty controversial hot topics. Joe Rogan, Whoopi Goldberg, cancel culture, the whole damn thing. And at the end of the episode, you might either want to cancel me or maybe help me get a multi-million dollar podcast deal. But I think it's a really good episode and some really interesting thoughts that I share that I think you'll be interested in. Now, before we get to that, we got to hear a word about our sponsor, and then it's on to the episode. Hello, 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 welcome. It's Glenn is Talking, Man from New York. This is actually the first podcast episode of 2022. I know it's already February, why did I wait so long? Well, because I've told you before in other episodes, January sucks, and February isn't that much better. I really hate the winter, and these January and February to me are the worst months of the calendar. Especially, I think, if you're in a place like New York and you're in the Northeast or maybe even the Midwest where it's just cold and we've had the super cold temperatures. Is heavy. We've had snow and ice and it's just been absolutely just hated. Really, it really just takes all the enthusiasm. And it seems like this has been particularly colder than usual in the past couple of years. I feel like the other day it was 40 degrees. I'm like, oh, thank God. It's going to be some warm weather today. Because it seems like every day you wake up, it's like, oh, it's 20 degrees. It's 30 degrees. And like, I need the local meteorologist, the local weather people, not to be so excited about the cold weather. I know you got to promote it and hype up for the show, for the news broadcast, but come on, like, thanks, we got a chill coming in. Let's not give it too much enthusiasm. There's nothing to be excited about. So on that note, welcome to the first new episode of 2022. New year. New things happening. We here in New York City. We've got a new mayor. We've also got a lot of trauma and crime and tragedy and everything. So what's happening around the world? What's happening in the news? There are protests. There are rumors of war. Everything is going on, right? So, is any light news? Any good news? So yesterday, that Queen Elizabeth commemorated 70 years on the throne. Now, usually, if someone has spent 70 years on the throne, we tell them they should probably go to a doctor, right? But we are talking about Queen Elizabeth, talking about the monarchy. Regardless of how you feel about the monarchy, I think it's safe to say that Queen Elizabeth has sort of been like a symbol of stability and all that stuff. But that was kind of, just the fact that you get to live to have a job for 70 years is kind of cool. But the biggest news on social media, really, but it's been on regular news too. I don't know if people in the street are talking about it, but everyone has been talking about, Whoopi Goldberg and Joe Rogan. For different reasons, but similar reasons, right? So Whoopi Goldberg has some comments about the Holocaust on ABC's The View, which were inaccurate and just sort of not dealing with actual facts. And there was some pushback, and they eventually took a 2-week suspension, and then Joe Rogan, being Joe Rogan, there's been some pushback against his show for, first of all, Neil Young, the legendary musician, was the first one who's kind of like kickstarted this thing, saying, hey, I don't want my music on this platform because I believe that Joe Rogan is spreading misinformation when it comes to COVID-19 and the vaccine and treatments for it. And this has started this whole thing. So, but both topics have sparked discussion about so-called cancel culture and freedom of speech and all of these different things. And there are different dynamics to these issues because you're dealing with, first of all, Whoopi Goldberg being an African-American woman, Joe Rogan being a white guy. So this is the way they will be perceived by the things they say is quite different. And also, of course, their platforms, right? Because, you know, Whoopi Goldberg is on broadcast television network, you know, ABC, part of the View, part of the ABC News. So there's people may consider that a higher standard, even though it's The View, right? It's not a show that you think of like, oh, like World News Tonight or, you know, Nightline or something like that. And then you've got Joe Rogan, which is a podcast, but it's a big podcast, which makes, it's made him a lot of money and has a huge distribution. If you're listening to this, you're listening to it on the same platform that Joe Rogan's podcast is on. But let's talk about, so at the heart of the issue for me. Now, a lot of people bring up freedom of speech often when it comes to these particular issues, meaning someone that says something that is considered controversial or provocative, and there's a call for people to lose their jobs or something, and people talk about free speech, freedom of speech, the First Amendment. I feel like we keep having this conversation over and over and over again. And we keep forgetting that, okay, look, I hate to say this, but there's no constitutional right to host a podcast or be on a TV show. I mean, I wish it was true, but it's not. There's definitely not a constitutional right to make a lot of money doing those things. There's no constitutional right to have a platform. So I think we should get that out the way right now. Like, that can we agree on that? Yeah, I mean, we probably can, but I think we should, because it's true. Now, when it comes to people saying, look, I don't like whatever you're promoting or hosting or doing, so I don't want to support your product. People have the right to do that, even if they collectively do it. People have the right to say, I don't want to be associated with this product because I don't like what you're doing. I think you're doing something irresponsible. They have the right to do that. People also have the right to say, well, you know what? I disagree with that notion. I disagree with that idea. But we should, like, when we talk about freedom of speech and the First Amendment, we should really, the government, it's about the government. The First Amendment is about the government curtailing your freedom of expression. Even then, that has limitations, right? Because you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater when there's no fire. So everything has limitations. Everything, right? All rights come with some responsibility. But who gets held responsible? Who doesn't get held responsible? Well, people talk about nuance and context about everything. And let me say this first. Since this is my podcast, right, I can say what I want to say until someone says I can't, right? They take it away. But when it comes to, because there's Joe Rogan, in addition to the questions about COVID-19 vaccine and misinformation, there's also people who say, hey, this guy has a history of using the N-word and racially insensitive statements, which we usually call racist, but, you know, the polite way, racially insensitive. Because that's like the polite way of saying, you said something racist, but we don't know if you're smart enough to realize that what you said was racist. I think that's what that people mean when they say racially insensitive. Is that what they mean? Anyway, so I see a lot of discussion on Twitter about this issue. And I just think it's weird that people who are not black, non-black people, has a strong, passionate feelings about the use of the N-word. I just think that's weird. Don't you think it's weird? Like, why is it, like, why? I mean, I think it makes sense for black people to have strong feelings about that word. And I think the black experience and feeling with that word is more sometimes complicated than I think people want to express. Yes, there are people who use that term as a word of endearment and use it sort of just casually. There are a lot of black people who don't use that word or try not to use that word or have feelings have changed about that word. But I think other people who are not black, who have such strong feelings about the word and about how it's used and who uses it, I think that's weird. Okay, there's no real reason for you to use the word. Now, if you were talking, like, now if a journalist, if someone is quoting something, now even now, often when people are quoting something, they will say the N word instead of the actual word itself, which wasn't always the case. There was a time when people just say the word. But now, you know, sensitivities change, culture change, generations change. But yeah, this thing is weird. Like, if you're not black and you have really strong, passionate feelings about that particular word, I mean, maybe you should, I mean, just don't use it. I mean, that's the safest way. Makes sense to me. Now, when it comes to cancel culture, I did an episode, I think last year, called Cancel Culture versus Cancel Culture. So, just to harken back on that. Some people say cancel culture doesn't exist. And some people say cancel culture is horrible. And it's one of the worst things ever. Now, who's lying? Who's telling the truth? Well, cancel culture does exist, but no, it is not the worst thing in the world. Yes, often when people say things that are provocative or offensive, there will be calls for them to lose their job or lose their platform. Sometimes those things happen, sometimes it doesn't. It depends on the popularity of the person, depends on how many people defend that person. But I disagree with people who say, well, cancel culture doesn't really exist. I think there is cancel culture. It just doesn't always result in that person necessarily being canceled, but it does result in people clamoring for people to lose their job or to be fired for some reason, to have their platform taken away from them. That does happen. Now, do people actually lose their job? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But we can't admit there's not a culture around that. In addition to, there's people who say cancel culture is the absolutely worst thing in the world, and it's sort of denigrating society. No, that's not true either. Because we've always had so-called cancel culture, right? This is like new. We always had, when someone has done something that a fair number of people say is wrong, it's always been called to say, you know what, I don't think you should have that platform. Either it's a TV show or a radio show or a newspaper column or, in today's age, a podcast. So this isn't new. And this isn't some new nefarious part of, you know, society, something that sort of developed. I think everything I'm saying is common sense. However, common sense isn't that common anymore, especially when it doesn't suit people's ideology or their gimmick. And a lot of people on social media, especially a lot of people who get paid, pundits, people with blue checks, a lot of people, their gimmick is to have a certain cause no matter what. Even if it doesn't make any sense, they have to be on this certain side. There can never be an objective reason for anything. It has to fall into what's good for their gimmick, what's good for the character they are portraying on social media. So yeah, cancel culture does exist, but no, it's not the worst thing in the world. And also, let's be honest, there's a lot of hypocrisy to share for a lot of people. Yeah, it's true. However, I just think it's funny that people who are in such a rush to defend people when they're like, take an example, someone like Joe Rogan. People say this is horrible cancel culture. But a lot of those people, most of them are very silent when we have happening right now. We have books being removed and banned from school curriculum and being banned from schools and libraries. We have teachers basically being threatened, saying you better not teach anything regarding so-called critical race theory, which basically anything involving black history or dealing with racism and discrimination in America is being labeled with critical race theory. Even though that's not what critical race theory means, but that's sort of the generic label now they've placed on anything regarding dealing with actual American history. And there are people being, the teachers now are being threatened, educators, saying you might lose your job. There could be penalties for simply referring to actual history, because it might make certain people uncomfortable. Now, that feels like a real example of cancel culture. That feels like beyond cancel culture. That feels like just straight up censorship. But many of the people who scream the loudest about the dangers of cancel culture rarely have anything to say about those things. And that's a little Are they just because it doesn't fit whatever narrative they want to express, or it doesn't fit the side that they want to be on? Because if they call that out, people might, oh no, you're on the wrong side. Because a lot of these issues, people want to make sure they're on the right side, whatever the right side happens to be for them. So taking an actual objective, sometimes nuanced look and saying, well, you know what? I think it's wrong when it happens here, and I think it's wrong when it happens here. You know, very people, it's always people kind of close to cling to whatever their team is. But if you just kind of just cut through the BS, we really just, but it's like I said, it's difficult because the voices that get amplified are the ones that are, that throw the red meat. The ones that are sort of provocative, the ones who get people amped up and get people angry, and just sort of, they keep sort of throwing gasoline on the flames. Those are the people that get amplified the most. And I think they sort of crowd out voices, because let's be honest, reasonable in social media can be quite boring. Being, having a reasonable, objective opinion that sometimes may offend everyone, not because it's meant to be offensive, but because it just doesn't, you know, hey, you're not on my side anymore. And that's kind of boring. It doesn't really work. I've said this before. Social media is basically professional wrestling for people who are not into athletics, who don't have any athletic ability or muscles or baby oil or whatever, right? Because you just get to play a gimmick, you get to, and then you have an audience and you try to get over with that audience no matter what. But just to go back to what I said in the beginning, to clarify, yes. There is no constitutionally protected right to have a podcast or host a TV show. And definitely have to make a lot of money doing it. And cancel culture does exist. But people who say cancel culture is undermining somehow the fabric of liberty, no. Now, something that's worse than cancel culture, when you have actual censorship, when we do have authorities saying, you know what, we don't want these books taught to kids because we think history is uncomfortable, because it doesn't fit the narrative you want to say. When we think teachers and educators should lose their job or be punished or fined, whatever that's coming up with these rules, because they're teaching stuff that we don't want to be taught. That's troubling and dangerous. That's beyond cancel culture. But how somehow the people who are concerned the most about cancel culture don't have anything to say about that. It's sort of be like if you had a friend, a neighbor who was like, we got to worry about the neighborhood. Neighborhood is not safe. We gotta have a neighborhood watch. And then you were invaded by like an actual, you know, and they're just harping on like little incidents, but if an actual like biker gang came rolling through the neighborhood and they had nothing to say. But like, wait, but this is even more dangerous than just strange people walking around the neighborhood who may not look like who you want them to look like. So when you have a real threat against discourse and freedom of expression, people don't really seem to be interested in that, because like I said, it doesn't motivate their followers. It doesn't motivate listeners and likes and everything like that. Now, I don't even mean for this to go on even more about this, but yeah, reason why certain performers, certain podcast hosts, whatever, have such popularity is because, yes, they go against the grain, right? They're not part of the so-called corporate media, which, if people are making tens of millions of dollars from huge corporations that are publicly traded, they are kind of part of the corporate media. Maybe they're not, they don't have a CNN logo on their whatever program, or they don't have the NBC music when they're you know, telling news behind them, but they are a part of the corporate-owned media. But yeah, people stick to certain platforms and certain programs because it becomes part of their identity. Oh, look, I'm cool. I listen to this. I watch this. But yeah, this is, and also to go back to that in the beginning, I just think it's really weird when people who are not black are just so strong and passionate about the N-word. And the idea that someone could tell them, you know what, maybe you shouldn't use that word. Maybe, you know, maybe in whatever context you use that word is going to be inappropriate. That is, it's really passionate. Somehow it's a great strike against liberty. But when you talk about strikes against liberty, like, you know, people's actual civil rights and everything like that, then those same people seem to be very quiet. So it's sort of a pick and choose type of thing that a lot of people do. Very interesting. So on that note, thank you for listening. Please don't cancel me. Or maybe not. Maybe canceling would actually make this podcast a success. Who knows? Anyway, thank you for listening. Take care of yourself.